You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to our Point Counterpoint program called Black on Black Crime. Join us as we discuss legendary filmmaker Spike Lee versus Django the movie. But first, I need to tell you what this show is not about. And it's not about this. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. We also have that crazy fake Republican presidential candidate, Herman Cain, versus the New York Times op-ed board. They said something, he brought up the race stuff, whatever. We're going to talk about that. We have the Red Lobster Olive Garden chain versus the Affordable Care Act. I want to talk about that and their issues with the Affordable Care and how that's affected their business. We have news extras. There's a lot of stuff to happen in the news. We're going to talk about some holiday stuff, all of that. Everything's on the table. I am glad you're here. Glad you can join us. I'm your host, Jerome. You can join this program and call in area code 909-265-9189. Okay, again, that's 909-265-9189. You can call in, hang out. I have not opened the chat room. Kathleen is going to be yelling at me. Let me open Kathleen's mic on this. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Rome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
You know, as I had a chance to open up the chat room for everyone, I just didn't do it. So, sue me. I feel like it's going to be one of those days, you know, just kind of have to let this go. Our girl Kai is a little under the weather, so we don't know if Kai is going to be in today. But, you know, as I said before, without shoveling about, I want to say it's about 2 feet of snow. I know they said it was 14 inches, but whatever. I'm going to say that was with the blowing snow and all of that, since I had to shovel over the same space about 4 or 5 times, I'm going to say it was more than that.
Wow.
So, yeah, so, you know, luckily, well, I shouldn't say luckily I'm not under the weather. I'm not supposed to be under the weather. So just want to, everyone else who is feeling a little under the weather, hopefully you'll feel better.
Thank you.
And let the aches and pains go away. Oh, not you too. You're under weather a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, well.
I know.
It's the season.
It's,
you know,
I was going to say it's a black on black crime.
No. Well, it would be only a black-on-black crime if black people was making other black people sick. But then again, we're the only people saying that say you make me sick. So I don't know. I'm going to have to – as commissioner, you should be making that decision, but I can't let you since you brought that up.
Well, you know what, though? I haven't said that in years, but I used to say that a lot.
You used to say you make me sick a lot?
I did.
Oh, no.
I did. I said it a lot. You make me sick. I wasn't saying at that time. I was just saying how I used
you,
to say
you were just, oh, okay, because, you know, since I don't have low self-esteem, it didn't really bother me at all. You
would have had to tell everybody who was listening, and I just wanted to put it out there so God knows I wasn't talking about, you know, just nobody's making me sick right now. I'm cool.
You know what's funny about that? I'm sure when you used to say that to people, the people who you wanted to back up off, you still didn't. I don't care how much you said. Yeah. You could say you make me sick all you want to, and it just wouldn't help.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, well. All right, so I want everyone to know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on ACN and on Esprit Radio. Our call number tonight is 909-265-9189. And before we start, because we're going to take a break and we're going to start, but we have the filmmaker, legendary filmmaker, I might add, Spike Lee versus the Django Unchained movie. You know what that movie's all about. That's our main topic today. And we also have the that former fake Republican guy, Herman Cain, that no shame in his game, that crazy dude, Herman Cain. You know, just had to come across that. Sorry. And he is yelling at the New York Times op-ed folks, saying, you know, he's calling them racist for some reason. So we're going to talk about that after we come from break. But before I go to break, you know, today is the second day of Kwanzaa, so since I don't have my information in front of me, I only know what the first day of Kwanzaa is. Is that a black on black crime?
Yeah.
All right. If you don't know, since this is a black on black crime, if you don't know what Kwanzaa is, we're not telling you because you tuned into the wrong show. But Kwanzaa, the first day of Kwanzaa is where you, you know, I know you light a black candle. A black candle that represents the first principle of umoja, right?
Yes.
Is it umoja? Okay, yes. And it's unity. So the person who lights the candle might make a statement about the first principle and its meanings, and sometimes a passage or poem is read and read relating to what that principle means and how it relates to their life. So that is the first day of Kwanzaa. I think I'm going to have to catch up on our next show for the rest of the other 6 days.
But you're going to the second day because today is the second day.
Today is the second day, but, you know, since I don't know, I don't want to – see, here's the thing about black-on-black crime. I don't want to butcher it because I do know it, but I don't know it. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I don't have
– but I know it. I know it. The second day of Kwanzaa, December 27th, is – it's the red candle – and it's the principle of self-determination. So that's Kujichagulia. Kujichagulia.
Okay.
I used to say Kujichagulia, but that's, you know.
That's a candy bar.
It's Kujichagulia, self-determination. And that's
okay.
The second thing, yeah.
Okay.
And I have to want to stand with me, though. I have to... go get it, because I am celebrating Kwanzaa this year.
Okay, and, you know, I always celebrate it in spirit, so I just want to tell you, since we just passed Christmas, they had, like, the delivery experts calculate how much Santa, what would it take to deliver packages to 760 million children on Christmas. FedEx, UPS, all of those guys created an estimate of what it would take to deliver 760 million packages. Now, I almost don't want to read this, but it just seemed kind of interesting to me that they would take time to do this. And for the kids that are listening, yes, Santa has his own schedule, but we're trying to figure out how Santa does that. How did that work out for you, Kathleen? Okay, so they said Santa would need 12 million people in his operation, which would make him the biggest employer in the world.
Yeah, bigger than Walmart. Right?
Santa supplies Walmart. Come on now. We all know this.
Oh, that's right. But does he have the health benefits?
Yes. Santa has good benefits. Okay, so I just want you to know that. And so they had to hire something like 40,000 people just for the permits to cross the world borders and customs staff and all of this other stuff. They said that he would have to fly, he would need 46 international facilities, 5.2 million square feet with 155 miles of conveyor belts and 9,000 employees working just to load the presents alone, not to wrap. So they didn't do the estimate for who it would take to wrap the presents, but just to load them. And they're estimated 7,000 employees would be needed with an extra 100 meteorologists to, you know, avoid poor weather.
Santa's not affected by weather. He rides above the weather.
Right. But that's why their estimates is kind of a man-made estimate. They're just saying, like, they would need to do that. Santa don't need that. But they were saying if Santa worked at Walmart, that's what Santa would have to do.
Okay, so now here is the question that I want you to edit out. So for anybody who's not listening to the show.
Oh, man, she's about to hurt the kids. It is on a holiday, and she's about to hurt the kids.
I am. This is going to be like, I'm serious. I want you to edit this out, right? Santa's not just in the United States. He is international.
Santa's international. Man, Santa's international. Santa's big.
So, but wait a minute.
Santa went global.
All those kids in Africa, they don't have Joe Santa Claus. He's not bringing them down a chimney in Nigeria.
Okay, see, here's where you're getting a little bit off. Santa shows up. Santa takes different forms depending on where Santa is. So I just want to tell you that. Oh,
okay.
And by the way, they said it would be 7,600 pounds that he would carry on his sleigh, and it would take about 295 747 planes to carry that many gifts. So I just wanted to throw that in before we start the show.
And I know that was done by, like, Wall Street or something, because they put all those reindeer out of work, all those elves. They said,
oh,
they want to put planes. And you know those elves can't see over the dashboard of the jet?
Oh, man.
All right. They put them all out of work.
You know what? Our commissioner is going to be in rare form today. I just want to let you know, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. We haven't even gotten into our topics yet, and she is going off on Santa and Wall Street.
They laid off Rudolph. Rudolph.
Oh, man. That is a shame. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Santa is just trying to do his thing, and guess what? The commissioner just blew us out of the water. You know, okay, so let me go to the phone since we have someone who has their hand up.
I'm
losing control of the show already, so let's go to phones because we haven't even started our topics yet. All right, area code 269, welcome to Black on Black Crime. How you doing?
Hey, peace. Yeah, I just heard the sister say that Santa wasn't in Nigeria. You know, my sister just moved to Uganda, and she told me that, I don't know what she talking about, they got a Santa over there coming down chimneys and huts and everything.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
So I guess he is international. They running around with red and white hats on and everything over there.
In Uganda?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
All right. I'm so glad you called.
I am too.
The phenomenon is worldwide.
You know, in the spirit of what we do here on Black on Black Crime, we like to correct, like, falsehoods. So I'm glad you called in.
Yeah.
Because that was just a privilege.
Hey, tell her she don't know her history.
Well, hey.
Oh, yeah, right.
We figured.
She don't know her black history.
That's hilarious.
Look, wait a minute.
Hope that Santa has some food, right? And I just watched, well, we're not going to talk about the movie I just watched the other day, Machine Gun Preacher, but if you all haven't seen that, I know Santa got some guns on that sleigh, too. But we just, you know, but I'm just saying.
You know what? So the trick of that is that we might need to do a background check on Santa. We might need to see what's going on in the background with Santa. anybody got any ideas? Well,
yeah.
I'm happy. All right. Well, we're gonna
I'm glad that Santa is international. So I just you're gonna edit that out anyway because you
probably won't. No, we're not. Since he called in and corrected, we know Santa's international. So we got to leave that in, just in case somebody needs to know. We'll edit out your question.
And you know what? I saw on, I know you're trying to go to break, but the Bill Cosby show last night, Raven Simone asked Bill Cosby, well, is Santa African-American or is he Caucasian?
Oh, man.
So Bill Cosby said he's whatever color of the house that he goes to, whoever's house he goes to, that's what he is.
Well, I can put it this way. Santa is the color of the person who owns the store that's trying to get you to buy something. So that's usually how capitalism and democracy works. So we are still going to take this break. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with Black on Black Crime. If you want to hold in on the line and hit one and come back after this break, you're more than welcome. Thanks for your call. And hold on with us, all right? All right, you're listening to Black on Black Crime on ACN and on S3 Radio. We're going to take a quick break. You can call in 909-265-9189. Our main topic on today's program is we're going to talk about Spike Lee in this Django movie. We'll see how that's going to work. All right, we'll be back after this break.
Diamonds for only $49, then come to Tom Tuckman's Diamond Mine. If you would like personal service, then do not come to Tom Tuckman's Diamond Mine, because he passed away last week at 47 from the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Tom didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
A little bit rally. R-O-W.
Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
What if you have potatoes, but you've got a meat and potatoes guy? Pour chunky sirloin burger soup over those mashed potatoes, and dinner is served. 4 minutes, around $4. Campbell's Chunky. It's amazing what soup can do.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. This is your host, Jerome. Wanted to tell you, you can call in. Our number is area code 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. I want to bring back on Kathleen. How are you, Kathleen?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you, Carl?
I'm good. You know, I was having a few technical difficulties.
Are you?
Well, I didn't know if you could hear that I was having technical difficulties.
Oh.
Well, I had to check.
You kind of bleeped out for a minute.
Okay, well, yeah. You know, that happens. We are dealing with technology. Now, our first story, I know we still have a caller. If you want to join in on a conversation, just hit 1 again on your phone, and we'll bring you back in. You know, there was a story about Herman Cain, you know, the former fake Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain came out against New York Times this week with a New York Times op that claimed Republicans strategically use black politicians to undermine black interest. And so the op-ed specifically dismisses South Carolina Republican candidate. Well, he's not a candidate because he's been appointed by the governor to go in the Senate, but Tim Scott, who will soon join the Senate as a Republican, as a cynical token. Now, Cain declared that the New York Times paper is a racist paper for running the column, which was penned by University of Pennsylvania's political science professor Adolph Reed Jr., entitled The Puzzle of Black Republicans. He said any newspaper that would publish, now this is Herman Cain now, denigrating blacks as needing big government in order to serve its interests, and obviously racist is what he's saying, and deserves widespread censure for making such an insensitive and racially biased editorial decision, is what Cain wrote. Now, in the op-ed, Reed argues that black Republicans are tokens meant primarily not to attract blacks to the GOP, but to allow whites to vote Republican without feeling racist. Now, he further claims that politicians like Scott, with little that connects these men to the mainstream black politics or the country's first two black senators, are actually undermining black interest. All right. Kathleen, what do you think?
I need
about
that again. I'm telling you, I need to give me the highlight of that again.
Okay. Well, so the author of the column, Reed, he said, cliches about falling barriers are increasingly meaningless and symbols don't make coherent policies when he's talking about Republicans. And he said Republicans will not gain sufficient black support unless they take policy positions that advance black interests. No number of 10 Scots or cynical tokens will change that. Now, he wrote this column in the New York Times, and Herman Cain came out and said that New York Times was racist for running a column that a black man wrote. We're talking about Herman Cain. Now, do you
That's
think...
That's what I thought you said. That's why
right,
I'm
because,
like, huh?
Right, the article is about Tim Scott, but Herman Cain, you know, comes out and talks about how racist the New York Times is for running a column because he thinks that, I guess, the New York Times is liberal. You know, I can help you with this one because all I have to... Huh? All I have to say... is Herman Cain needs to go somewhere and, well, wait a minute. I think we have Kai on the line for this one.
Yes, wait. Okay, yes, please, because I have some questions, but I want to
Okay. Kyle is an author. Kai Sims is on the program. Hey, Kai.
Hey, everybody. Kai with the flu.
Oh, that's right. You know, that's that sexy voice that we all talk about, but don't worry about it. Let it go.
Oh, Kai.
I know, this. Sometimes this weather doesn't work in your favor.
No. And I see down, isn't it warm down there, though?
It's about 45 now, but I got caught in the rain the other day, and it feels like someone's beat me up over and over again.
All right, don't make me have to round up the posse. Call your brothers. I just hung out with them yesterday.
Oh.
You have to roll down.
Acetylcholine, that's what it is. And I'm not cursing. I'm not saying
it. And what is it for? I mean, what is it?
It's a natural anti-flu remedy.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they do, and they actually carry it in Walgreens. And
You know,
I usually buy it at the health food store. It's a little bit cheaper, but, you know, I know it's late, so you can get it at Walgreens. Dwayne Reed, if you have that, or a health food store. And it's like a little vial of, it's like seed-like, if you will, little small beads that you dissolve underneath your tongue. If you take that, you take that about, it says every 3 to 6 hours you take a vial. And in addition to that, you want some emergency, so we're not promoting them on the air, but emergency, three packets of that per day. And the other thing that I'll send you, it's called wellness tablets, and you can only get that in the health food store. But if you combine those three and take it seriously for the next 3 days, you'll be 100% in like 48 to 72 hours max.
Oh, yeah, because my hot toddy didn't work. Neither one of them.
No, it's not going to work. It's hard.
I'm not going to tell you. Kai probably has some nog with that, but we're not going to go through that. All right, so we're not going to go through eggnog season. And, you know, and again, we had a caller in earlier. God, I just got his name that quick. Matus, if you want to call in or get back in, just hit one on your line. I want to thank you for calling in. I don't know if you heard the first part of the show, Kai, when Kathleen was jumping on Santa Claus. But I
hear that Santa Claus is international.
Yeah.
I came in on that part, which is very interesting. And, I was just listening to the whoever wrote the article. The New York Times, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got a lot on his mind, it seems like.
Well, you know what, though? But I do agree with him. I mean, and this is because I work in that field, but the problem is that Republicans don't really respect black people. And you know what's funny about this? And, again, I have more than enough time in that business to tell you that I've done enough Republican campaigns to tell you this, that just like with Democrats, sometimes they have black people on in certain positions to give the impression that they have friends that are black so that it gives white folks the ability to vote for them, right? Because
yeah,
there's some...
You know, some of my best friends are black.
Exactly. But it's worse than that because there are some areas that you run in that people won't vote for you unless you have diversity. But they won't vote for somebody black. They'll vote for somebody who has relationships with black people. I know that sounds crazy, but I've done this stuff a long time. So I just want to say when he said that, for Herman Cain to call him out to say, you know, they're racist, that deludes when we call things racist because you know how people get desensitized to folks saying things about
things
being racist.
Right.
We get desensitized to it because people like Herman Cain do things like that. Right?
Yeah.
He wants to use it for his own benefit, but not for the benefit of black people as a whole. He's saying because you attacked a Republican who was black.
Yeah.
So
and I guess if I was Mr. Scott, I'd be peeved at the article. But Mr. Cain is not the best representation for who to decide who's racist or not.
No.
Mr. Scott is probably asking him to be quiet.
No. Mr. Scott is crazier than Herman Cain.
Oh, gosh.
And Alan West. So Mr. Scott is on the state legislature of South Carolina who believes that, you know, there should be no social services, and he's a Tea Party guy. Like
he's
another
from
black
South
person.
Carolina,
and he's in South Carolina. Yes,
really.
Yeah, and I think people missed the memo of thinking that black people just don't rally around people because they black.
Oh my gosh!
You know, I'd like to remind you, to send you to the archives of one of our past shows about how people get Harriet Tubman'd. Right? She carried a gun because everybody black wasn't on her side.
Right.
I just want to tell you
right.
that.
Wow.
All right. All right. So since we kind of beat that one up a little bit, here's another one. Now, speaking of black folks in a different space, I'm not sure if you heard the story about Red Lobster and Olive Garden having they're owned by the Darden Group. So the Darden Group, which is run by Clarence Otis,
right?
He's black. So after their new, you know, campaign ads touting the quality of their food, and it failed to spark sales. So the parent company of Longhorn Steakhouse, Olive Garden, and Red Lobster is trying to kind of retool their promotional strategy after Clarence Otis said that the affordable health care is going to make him reduce his staff. So he wants
Otis
to move.
Himself said that?
The CEO said that for Red Lobster and Olive Garden, he's going to reduce his staff their hours so that he didn't have to pay them for health insurance. So their sales this last quarter is down 37%. And now he said, oh, I'm sorry, the media coverage was a secondary issue that hurt our quarterly results, but it was misinterpreted our actions as our stand against health reform. Now, the company has since moved away from, they said they will not move away from full-time workers to part-time status as a result of the new regulations. But for the 3 months ending November 25th, they showed a 37% drop of income. Now he's saying, no, we're just playing.
Oh, gosh. No takesies, backsies.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. So let me go to some internet comments that we have on this while I'm at it. Now, one said, you know, I stopped eating there when they made the announcement that they would avoid health care by reducing the hours of workers who don't make as much to begin with. I felt as if they didn't care about people who served food, then they certainly don't care about anyone eating it. And I actually agree with that statement. Now, we have another comment that says, we know that they don't care about the health of their employees, but we know they care about the bottom line. And telling America you will make your workforce part-time to avoid health insurance is bad for the bottom line, and I think they just saw that. And our last comment just says, well, I just added Red Lobster and Olive Garden to my Do Not Eat list, which includes Papa John's, Denny's, Marco's Pizza, McDonald's, Applebee's, and any other company that is anti-President Obama. All right.
McDonald's is in there too?
Well, it was McDonald's actually came out to say that was a franchise owner. It was not McDonald's.
Right.
They're coming off really quick.
Yeah. And, you know, that was interesting. They were talking down here. I knew Applebee's was on that list, but they were saying down here the same thing. You know, that's the CEO talking, and different franchises don't all support the anti-Obamacare. And, you know, for people to protest, it's the same middle-class people and the lower-income people who are trying to make a living that ends up getting hurt because of what sometimes the CEO says. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, and I get that. Like, you
mm-hmm.
get to a point where you're saying, hey, you know what, it's going to hurt the workers. But I think we in this country need to turn a corner by saying just because you're rich, if you threaten to hurt poor people, you can't hurt poor people and then threaten to hurt them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, I don't want to give you health insurance, but if you don't eat here, I'm going to fire them. Right? It's,
mm-hmm.
That's playing itself out.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are not getting that doggone sensitive anymore.
Right.
They're saying that if you don't pay them a good wage, we are not going to eat here because we don't want sick workers working on my food.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And it's not like you'll see a lot of Republican workers working there. So who's going to be working there?
Well, okay, but I do want to say this, Guy. There are a lot of poor Republicans. But the interesting thing about that is that right down at the lower income scales, it is easy to put poor people up against each other. And Republicans mm-hmm. do a really good job of mm-hmm. saying somebody's getting something that you're not. And I think that's where people fight.
Right, yeah.
Right, because living wage helps minors, right? We don't have a minimum wage in this country because of unions. And think
mm-hmm.
of all the people who hate unions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like mm-hmm. they would keep you working like 90 hours a week with no lunch.
You're absolutely right.
All right. Now, we haven't heard from our commissioner in a while. Her mic's still open, but we don't know. She's just kind of watching us, apparently. She's trying to make sure we don't cause no trouble.
I'm here. I was disappointed when I heard him say that. I wasn't quite sure what to make out of it when he was so successful. I still don't really understand where some of these black business leaders, black political leaders, educational leaders, you know, our Cornel West, our Tavis Smiley's, and this particular gentleman whose restaurants were really doing very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
His restaurant chain was doing extremely well, and people were really just finding out that this was a black guy. That owned all of these restaurants. And if they haven't seen yet that the black folks that come out against President Obama suffer for it, I don't understand what they think they're going to get out of taking a stand like that. Not only is it just coming out against the president, but it's coming out against all of the people that the president said that he is standing for and in support of. So the folks that are working in his restaurant, he's going to just come out and say, okay, to my bottom line, without you guys, we have no business. So we don't want to pay you for health insurance. So even though all the reports just came out that these chains are doing better than a lot of all other restaurant chains, and they're a black guy, and, you know, all of this, for him to come and take that stand is just baffling to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder if he caved under the pressure, or did he really feel that way?
He had no choice to cave. He had lost 37% of income, like the last 3 months.
That's almost 50%. Oh, wow. And if you think about it, if he had considered it another way, you know, if he had considered, say, oh, you know what, let me see what kind of approach I can take to support my employees so that they can get health care. Because if we're looking at the I can't even remember the Rome, you had reported this once, the billions of dollars that he was making in profit. This guy was making a killing.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
You know, so if he's going to take a percentage of that and help his workers get health insurance, right, because the way they make it sound, to me, didn't even seem like an accurate representation of what Obamacare stands for. So it just sounded like another cornball way to, you know, try and shut it down. So is he, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Help me.
No, no, you know what? Speaking of cornball, I just want to remind everybody, last week's show was about RG3 and Rob Parker called it RG3 a cornball. So if you want to check that out in the archives, it was last week's show. You just reminded me of that cornball. All right. And just like
cornbread.
You know what? We got to bring back all of the old sayings. I forgot what, Kathleen, what you used earlier. What did I say that you said you haven't used in a long time?
You make me sick.
You make me sick? See, we got to bring back those, Kai. We're bringing back old terms today. While I was in delirium shoveling for about 4 hours today, well, it was a little over 4 hours, but while I was in delirium, I kept thinking of new game show topics. So I'm going to come up with a game show, and here's one of the questions. Okay. Curtis Mayfield had a song in the 70s from the Superfly soundtrack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can y'all tell me? Right. So can y'all tell me who died?
Freddie.
Everybody knows
Freddie.
Everybody knows Freddie's dead. But how did he die? Now, how did he die?
Overdose.
Everybody's confused and ripped him up and misused him. Another something playing, pushing dope for the man.
No, another junkie dead because he was pushing dope for the man. He died because he was pushing dope for the man. They killed him. Kathleen, you were wrong on that black on black crime, lady. Anyway,
I was putting some rum in the cornbread, so I think it was the fumes.
Maybe that's what I need.
I started mixing it when I heard your voice. I was like, oh, I know what I need to take for time.
Oh, I know what this means. When there's cornbread and alcohol, it is time for a break.
The weather seems by Atlanta. International
fashion. Oh, man. Okay, Kathleen's scaring me right now, but we're going to go to commercial, and we are going to come back. You're listening to Black on Black Crime. Our call-in number is 909-265-9189 if you want to join in. We'll be right back with our main topic after this.
Starting Sunday, this coming Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a new show called Professional Style, where we talk about singles, professionals, parents, travel, lifestyle, and living. If you are a professional, if you're a single, you're a parent, or whatever your status in life, Professional Style, every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on Ask Kathleen Network.
Where does a great night out get even better? At the new Ruby Tuesday, with our freshly made lobster tail and steakhouse sirloin for only $14.99. Enjoy the tempting combination of sweet lobster paired with a perfectly seasoned sirloin, cooked just the way you like it, and served with a free garden bar, all for only $14.99. But join us soon. A pairing this perfect won't last forever. The new Ruby Tuesday.
Dear Honda, thanks for getting my friend Lisa a deal on her Odyssey at your holiday sales event. She's got 5 boys, so the Bluetooth comes in handy.
I have to cancel.
Plus, it's got a rear view camera and seating for the ladies.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during Happy Honda Days. Get a great deal on the 2013 Odyssey at your Honda dealer.
All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. You're listening to, I'm your host, Jerome. We're on with my girl, Kai, who is a little under the weather. And we have Commissioner Kathleen on. So, okay, how are you guys? All right. You know what? I better put Kai back on mute. I'll bring you back in a minute. Kai, I may have caught her in the middle of a cough. Hold on.
That was Kathleen.
Yeah, oh, that was Kathleen?
I think it was Kathleen.
I was singing. What are y'all trying to say?
I think I just brought you in at a bad time. Both. She's under the weather as well, Kai. So, you know. Yeah, I guess I'll, I'm going to be easy and try not breathing on me. Don't breathe on me. You know how people do that when folks are sick. Oh, don't breathe on me. All right. So our main topic for the show is filmmaker Spike Lee in the movie Django. You guys heard about that movie with Jamie Foxx and Sam Jackson and all those folks. Familiar with it? Okay. Django Unchained is a film directed by Quentin Tarantino. It's about a slave turned bounty hunter who, with the help of a mentor, sets out to rescue his wife from a brutal Mississippi plantation owner. Now, actor, singer, songwriter Jamie Foxx stars in the film as the main character, Django. Now, in a recent interview with Vibe TV, Spike Lee, famed director Spike Lee, was asked how, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, hold on just a second. He was asked, how did he feel about the film? And in response, he said, I can't speak on it because I'm not going to see it. He said, all I'm going to say is that it's disrespectful to my ancestors. That's just me. I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone else. So his response comes weeks after Jamie Foxx revealed that when he discussed the film with Spike Lee, who owns 40 Acres and a Mule Filmworks, the production company, he told the actor, I'm not going to say anything bad about the film. It looks like y'all are getting it, is what he told Jamie Foxx earlier. So he really didn't say anything bad about the film on Vibe TV. He just said he is not going to see it. That was what Spike said. Now, I know there's black actors in there, and it's a slave movie, but I don't know where to go with this, but we'll start with Kai. How do you feel about what Spike said about not wanting to see? Well, let me say this first. Later on, Spike wrote on Twitter, American Slavery is not a Sergio Leone spaghetti Western. It was a Holocaust. My ancestors were slaves stolen from Africa, and I will honor them, meaning that that's how he sees it. And Kerry Washington, who plays Broomhilda, which I should be offended by just saying that about her, said, if an education on slavery is what you seek, best rent Roots. And I used to like Kerry Washington. She was wrong for saying that. Ooh. All right, Kai, you're up first. I don't know which one of them to go after today.
You know, it's interesting because they're showing on TV One, they're actually interviewing Quentin Tarantino and Jamie Foxx. I guess my take on it is, one, Spike needs to do a little yoga. He seems like a very angry little man. All the time.
Okay, this black on black crime, don't make me flag you.
Okay,
so I have never done that to you before.
I haven't seen the movie.
He just said he won't see it. He said
right.
that's my opinion.
That's fine. If he says that I haven't seen it, I don't plan on seeing the movie, I can respect that. I would be interested to know why, if he hasn't seen the movie, why does he not want to see the movie? And I guess my take on it is, you just got to consider who the filmmaker is, and slavery was very ugly. It wasn't pretty. I mean, and we weren't there, so we don't know just how ugly it got. We can only do our interpretation of it. But I guess it would make more sense to me because I plan to see it, and if I'm offended by it, then it costs me $10 to know that's not a movie I would recommend. Or that I would buy on DVD or whatever. But I think for me, I want to see it before I pass judgment on it. And
right.
If he hasn't seen it, I guess I'm curious as to why he's so angry if he hasn't even seen the movie.
See, now, I don't take it as him being angry. Like
not even angry. I guess my question is, why would he not? Why? I wonder why he wouldn't go see it. What would make him not go
probably,
see it?
Okay, now I want to say this because I actually get this. He won't see it for the same reason I won't see it. It's just like it was kind of like getting me to see a Madea play back in the days. I still won't see
Madea.
It, but on bootleg, whatever. But I'm just saying I won't pay to see it. It's not what I do. But he's saying the same thing. He's saying that we're not a slapstick. I don't know if you saw Blazing Saddles with Cleavon Little. I thought it was funny, but it was something kind of weird about laughing at the fact that Cleavon Little goes up to an old white woman and says, good morning, and she says, get out of my way, N-word. I guess that was funny, but we're not technically the audience. Now, the movie was funny. Mel Brooks did a great job. But what Spike is saying is that I'm not going to see it because, slavery is not slapstick to some of us. Now,
right.
I know I'm pretty serious, so I'm not going
to
act
and
like
I, just,
I can let everything
I need
go.
To, I guess I need to see it. Because I don't know if it's slapstick, is it supposed to be funny? I was under the impression it was trying to tell a story of what happened back then. I mean, it's a story about a character trying to get his wife back. And I don't know if it's slapstick or spaghetti or all I know is Jamie Foxx is in it. And I like Jamie Foxx as an actor. I like Kerry Washington. I like Leonardo DiCaprio. So my guess is that
and Sam Jackson
cuts
himself.
And Sam Jackson.
I like
so, you know, knowing their past film history, my take on it would be, I guess, that I wouldn't, based on the movies they used to do, I would think that this would be a movie that they were comfortable with.
Okay, but this is the reason why this is a black-on-black crime, right? This is why I brought this topic up, is because Spike is saying, someone asked Spike, so I didn't go out and say boycott this movie. He didn't say anything bad about it, as they said, Jamie Foxx talked to Spike about it prior.
Mm-hmm.
But, so he said, I am not going to watch it, which makes it seem like he has something against it. So, let's bring Kathleen in on this because I know she's going to be running out in a second. Kathleen, what do you think about Spike Lee and his comments about this movie, Django?
Well, I was over here pretty steaming about it, so I was trying to woosah before you brought me.
Oh man, no, that just means Kathleen's about to go on mute.
Go to your yoga place.
It's one thing for me to say I'm not going to go see the movie, right? But when they interview Spike Lee, they're not just interviewing him because it's like, hey, Kat, what's up? You going to see Quentin Tarantino's movie? And I say, no, I'm not going. And anybody really going to care at this moment?
Right.
You know, maybe some people, but, you know, maybe not the world. I'm not known as a producer of major black movies and so forth. So when they interview Spike Lee and he says, I'm not going to see it, there's all kinds of undertones underneath that. So if he didn't want to send that message, he might say something a little bit different. So for him to say that, he's sending a direct message that says, I'm not going to see it, which means I have a problem with it, and it's insulting to my ancestors, which means the rest of these guys don't get it. You know, yes, I'm putting words in his mouth, but that's what the media is doing, and he has to understand that who he is, that comes with the territory, and I know he didn't mistake that.
Right.
So when he did it, I think that's what he was, you know, he didn't say, I think it's a terrible movie or they were stupid for doing it or whatever, but basically that's what's going to be taken from his comment.
Right. But, again, not even in his defense, I don't really think Spike Lee is defending on this one, but let's just say this was me. I don't like to do hypotheticals, but just to say, right? I do campaigns all the time. So let's say I was doing a campaign, and because this happens, right, when I'm doing a campaign, and someone says, what do you think about that person? And I say, that person is racist. Like, I don't really care when I know the disposition of somebody. I just don't care. Spike does not care that Spike is not going to see it. He's saying, you can do what you want. It's slapstick. I am not going to do it. So he's a whole lot more serious about films and his critique of films because he's a filmmaker. So that's different than him calling for a boycott. So I think what happens with Spike and people like Reverend Sharpton, every time, or Minister Farrakhan, I think what happens is that whenever they open their mouth, people have old anxieties about these guys that they automatically say, what is he all, you know, mad about, and why is Spike creating controversy? He was just asked, doing an interview. He's done a lot of movies, you know, just across the board that were, I mean, you can, that were kind of supposed to be funny. She's Got to Have It, I guess, was supposed to be, you know.
I was going to bring that up, but, you know.
Yeah, like, but no, I'm saying I'm not, like, bashing him for that.
Right.
But I have a problem with Quentin Tarantino myself, so I just want to say, The reason that this is getting publicity and the reason they asked Spike is because in 1997, Spike Lee blasted Quentin Tarantino after the release of Jackie Brown because that film was kind of his over-the-top use of the N-word. And so Spike said, the problem with Jackie Brown, and I will say it again and again, I have a definite problem with Quentin Tarantino's excessive use of the N-word, and let the record show that I never said that he can't use the N-word. I've used the N-word in many of my films, but I think something's wrong with him. If you look at Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, even with Christian Slater's True Romance, it's just the N-word, the N-word, the N-word. He says he grew up on blaxploitation films and that they were his favorite films, but he has to realize that those films do not speak to the breadth of the entire African-American experience. I mean, the guy's just stupid. In his defense, Tarantino says, I'm working with the English language. I'm not just a film director who shoots movies. I'm an artist, and good, bad, or indifferent. It comes from that place. All of my choices, the way I live my life, are about that. The high volume of N-words in Django Unchained is also a source of controversy. Now, with all of that being said, I don't know if you know this, but Quentin Tarantino was a writer on a Red Dawn. What was the movie that Denzel was in, that he was in the submarine? That was Red Dawn, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember, Kathleen, but it was.
Oh yeah, I know most of Denzel's movies.
Well, I remember Quentin Tarantino from. He was one of the screenwriters. He tried to change Denzel Washington's words in the script to use the N-word in that movie, and Denzel said no.
It didn't even fit there.
It didn't fit the movie. So Spike Lee came out later and saying, I don't know what his obsession is with the N-word, but you can't say I'm just an artist when we know that you're playing into a stereotype. Right?
That makes sense. If he said, I don't want to go see it because he uses the N-word too much, or, you know, if that's his preference, that makes
sense.
He's
not going to support it because that's what his belief is, though, Kai.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
And I can respect that. If that's his belief, and I guess, too, it's like you said, because he seems so angry all the time.
Well, because they only show him.
Where he was
they
innocent.
Only show him in that, though. Right, Spike Lee's most recent film was, and we did it on, we talked about it on the show, was Michael Jackson's 25th anniversary thing. So
and
I like
Spike Lee. I go see his films as well, but I guess, I don't know, I guess having not seen this one.
Yeah, but the only time he makes AP feeds and Universal News feeds is when he says something that people put him in a certain light. I mean, I see a lot of stuff that Spike Lee has done. I can't remember the Denzel movie that he recently did. What's the one that he did with the...
Oh, I loved it. With Clive Owen and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and even going back to movies like Tales from the Hood, where Spike Lee's company, 40 Acres and a Mule, gave some black film writers and directors an opportunity to do a movie. So they did Tales from the Hood and Drop Squad, I think. But he's even given other people, you know, an opportunity to come in to do movies. And Spike has done what he's done. But to bring those old, I think we need villains. And I think what happens is that people just come in and say, here's a villain for you. Let's not like him for whatever reason. But anyway, on that note, let's bring in another caller. We have a caller. Welcome to Black on Black Crime.
Yes. This is Dana.
Is that Dana Crockett?
Yes, it is.
Now you're
talking about. Hi, everyone. I'm finally.
You know,
yeah,
Dana.
The movie you're talking about is Crimson Tide with Denzel.
There you go.
And I want to just say a piece about Spike Lee. I haven't seen the movie. I heard it was a pretty good movie that Quentin Tarantino put out. But I can understand, after you explained it, Jerome, why Spike Lee doesn't want to see it. But he has to be sensitive in in a place where we're not employing a lot of African Americans, that Quentin has given some people employment. You know what I mean? And, you know, without compromising themselves. So when you talk against things like that, you kind of, you may in the future prohibit somebody from getting a job in this industry that is very
one-sided.
One-sided.
Well, now, okay, so I can live with that to the degree that it is, you do have to watch putting pressure against something, right? But he was just kind of in an interview, and he said, "I'm not going to watch it," right?
But,
that's
know,
all he said,
even if he
is,
had
"I'm not going to watch it."
If he had said, "I'm not going to watch it, it's just not the movie for me." But if he went in to say, "It's insulting to my ancestors, and it's this, and it's that," then that takes on a whole nother tone. To be honest, this might be a black-on-black crime. I wasn't a fan of She's Gotta Have It. We forgave him for that, and we still supported him. That wasn't a movie for me, but
and girl
I supported
six.
Girls, exactly.
Oh,
I mean, and we supported him. We continue to support him, but it would have been, it's like Kathleen said, on the level that he's on, he has a lot of people who follow him. So if he's going to say, "I'm not going to support it," and then, just belittle the movie, then a lot of people are listening to that. Because it kind of sounds like it's personal against Quentin Tarantino. Whereas he could have just said, you know, took the high road and said, "Well, it's not a movie I care to watch." We would have been like, okay, Spike doesn't like it.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, that's the thing, though. I think it is personal against him. And
right.
So, and my point is that, you know, just own it.
Right.
If that's what you do.
Which I don't like him.
Because we're seeing him having a lot of problems with people. He has a problem with Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry,
right.
Exactly.
He has
right.
a problem
okay.
with Quentin Tarantino.
Okay.
Now, I mean, I can see him being having a personal problem against Quentin, but see the movie. Then if it's what he thought it was, then, you know, make a statement. But
right.
just to say
then it
that,
costs him $12, $15, $30 to know that that's not a movie he would support.
Okay, first of all, Spike Lee wouldn't have to pay to go to
he
that
wouldn't
movie,
have to pay a dollar.
Here's the thing.
He'd do a screening, yes.
Right. So here's
save
the
us
thing.
$20.
Well, I know. Check it out on bootleg. But here's the thing. Now, I know you guys are really being nice. I don't know why you are jumping on Spike on this. But,
really?
But you know, I don't know why. I have no clue. And it's for me, it is, I wouldn't say it's troubling, but it's kind of like, I don't know where you give anybody the freedom to do to say what they think. Because here's the thing. When we look at racist people like Donald Trump, people watch Miss USA or Miss Universe and all of that other pageant stuff on Apprentice, and we know that that kid is an alleged racist from some of the alleged racist things he said. I don't have to say alleged on this program, but anywho. but beyond him, we know that some people act against our best interest, and we will let them go and say, "Well, they weren't talking about racism stuff. That's you being angry." Spike Lee cannot get out of the box from being perceived that way, just like Reverend Sharpton can. I watch a lot of comments from MSNBC where they're like, "Oh, I can't watch Sharpton. He's acting this way." And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, that kid a break. He was talking about, you know,
right,
the football game. But nobody can listen past that. But it's funny how when black people see other black people, and again, let me back up a little bit. You're listening to Black on Black Crime, and the premise of the show is when black people overanalyze, criticize, or somehow belittle. We didn't put that in the trailer, but it's when they overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in the areas they won't consider anyone else. That's what makes a black-on-black crime. And I think with Spike Lee, people jump on him without consciousness, right? They just pretty much say.
I have a lot of respect for Spike Lee, and I will continue to see what
movies he put out.
But I just I want to know what he's basing this on. Did he read the the script and say no?
Earlier he actually talked to Jamie Foxx, and he told Jamie Foxx he's not going to badmouth the film. Jamie Foxx went to Spike Lee, and so he's saying, okay, cool, you know, if you guys are doing it this way, that's cool. And he didn't really bash the film. It's because Spike Lee said that he is not going to watch it is why it looks like Spike hates the movie, and he's not even saying that. He's saying, I'm not going to watch it.
I don't think it's because he's not going to watch it. I think if it's the comments he made afterwards, that it's belittling, it's disrespectful, it's this. Just say you're not going to watch it. And I'm not anti-Spike Lee or pro Tarantino, because I don't want to see Kill Bill. To me, just from the commercial, it looks like it's too graphic, it's too violent, it's, you know. But I respect the fact that that's a Quentin Tarantino movie, and you know you're going to get extreme Quentin Tarantino. This, because I like the actors in this movie, this is a movie, and that doesn't mean I won't support Quentin Tarantino. That's just a movie I would prefer not to see. But we got to give ourselves more credit also to know that sometimes it's just a movie. You can't go there expecting that the writer is going to save the world. Sometimes it really is just a movie, and we go there to be entertained, and this might just be for entertaining, and it's not going to be for everybody. But if it's not for you, just say, no, that movie's not for me. You know, but if someone of Spike Lee's caliber, you know, if he said he used the N-word, it's disrespectful to my ancestors, and he was comfortable saying that, but he's like Dana said, he's mad at everybody. You know, who does he actually like?
I guess that's my point.
I'm going to try to support anyone that's, you know, giving African-American jobs where there's little of in that industry,
right. But
long as there's not major buffoonery, you know.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
But if that's the case, then
like
I'm
Girl
not
Six, not
that.
Hating.
Oh, you know what? I can't really hear you on that Girl Six because you know, the star or Girl Six, and then they played nothing but Prince music. So yeah, I'm going to give that one a pass. So I don't care. I wasn't really watching Girl Six. Teresa Randall and Prince music,
right.
So I don't
and
really know.
And to his
know.
Credit, he has helped a lot of people's career by putting them in his movie. So I'm definitely not anti-Spike. I just want him to just go to his yoga place every now and then and just relax a little bit, you know. Because it sounds like some hateration is going on.
And it sounds like you guys are doing a hateration. So here's what I'm going to do.
This film seems like a film Spike Lee could have picked up and
exactly.
put out.
Is he mad that he didn't get it first?
Well, Quentin, I think.
Okay, there'll be no hating, Kai. No hating.
Sorry.
All right.
Quentin wrote the movie, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So I have some internet comments, and remember our rules on internet comments. I will not say your name unless you give me permission to say it. So here's one of the internet comments. One says, "I know a lot of people think Spike Lee is a hater. I personally still have a lot of respect for Spike. A lot of people do not realize how bad blacks are being portrayed in Hollywood movies. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. I do not see anything wrong with what Spike Lee said. Maybe." The Django movie really did disrespect our ancestors since nobody saw it. We don't really know. He said, I can't name a ton of movies that I feel are disrespectful to blacks, but the point is someone asked his opinion. He gave it, like it or not. That was one comment. Another comment was, Spike, first, I love your body of work, but I must say, as a professional, why would you make such a comment publicly? You come off as a hater, and you need to respect the boundaries of your peers. And I'm not going to say bite me on that comment. But anywho, let's go to this one. Here's another one. It says, what did Spike say wrong? That was another comment. Another comment says, Spike Lee has the right to like or respond to questions about the movie, but I've seen several Spike movies that I didn't care for, call it free speech.
Thank you.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me go to the last one. Black people need to realize that it's open season on us every generation if we don't begin to defend ourselves. And those who try to defend us, just like every other culture does, I don't know what that means, says we need to be loyal to those who are loyal to us. Other races won't allow these pejoratives. And it's a bigger comment. I just kind of skipped over some of it. But he was just saying that using the N-word excessively, if it was the Holocaust movie and they were using too much, they would have protested somehow.
Well, you better stop a whole lot of conversations going on the city bus and train and everything else.
This is why I'm confused. We are inundated with the word every day, and now because a non-African-American man puts it in a movie, all of a sudden I'm feeling better. Got me.
Yeah, I know. Stop defending that cat.
We're inundated with that word every day, and then because a white man put it in a movie, everybody bad. But if
Kai. You're bringing up
Spike Lee
have
put in the movie.
Nobody cares about Quentin Tarantino. Nobody cares about Quentin Tarantino. We're talking about the fact that Spike's saying he's not watching a slavery movie. It has nothing to do with that dude being white and whether he likes him or not. We don't care. Because I don't like Quentin Tarantino.
Let's take Quentin Tarantino out of it.
Thank you.
What is the difference between, I don't want to say that and belittle Roots. I can't watch Roots again. It makes me mad.
Now see,
what's the difference between, and not because it's a bad movie, but because it takes me back to a place where I'm reminded of how ugly slavery really is, and where they did use, they used us as property, as cattle, So what's the difference? I guess I would need to go and see what the difference is between a story that this man is trying to tell and the story that Alex Haley is trying to tell. Not to belittle Roots at all. It was an excellent movie. But it's not a movie I can watch again and not get really ticked off.
But I think you should watch it again, because I know we probably watched it when we were 14, but we're watching it now with a different set of eyes.
Yeah, but I live in Georgia.
And I think
so you see Roots all the time.
I see Roots every day.
I'm wondering if Spike Lee liked the movie like The Help or anything like that.
Right.
And I do think Quentin's obsessed with our culture. I do think that.
I think he wants to be black.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So,
all right. See, it is just because, Dana is on that I'm really kind of just being nice. So I'm just like, I am letting all of that go.
Do you. Be yourself, and I want to hear what you have to say. Because I'm
Dana,
against what Spike Lee's saying.
Dana, just as a side note, I'm not being nice. I was just saying.
Yeah, he normally would just mute us.
Really, he would mute us? Am I muted now?
No, you're not muted.
No, it's this thing on. All right, we're going to take a break after laughing at Kai. You can call in. You can join us. Everyone who's on the line, if you hit one on your line, we'll bring you in. You can call in. Our number is 909-265-9189. That's no diggity, by the way. All right. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with Dana. Dana, hang out with us for a little bit. We dropped our commissioner, Kathleen, so we can act up. So we'll be back. We'll be back after this message.
Columbine,
Virginia Tech,
Tucson,
Aurora,
Fort Hood, Oak Creek, Newtown,
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 Newtown.
How many more? How many more? How many more colleges? How many more classrooms?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more houses of faith?
How many more shopping malls?
How many more street corners?
How many more?
How many more?
Enough.
Enough.
Enough. Enough.
Demand a plan.
Right now. As a mom.
As a dad. As a friend. As a husband.
As a wife.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American.
As a human being.
For the children of Sandy Hook.
Demand a plan.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to act. Demand a plan. Right now.
Right now.
You! Demand it!
Enough.
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 All right, welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. We have Kai and Dana hanging out today. I want to remind you, our number, our calling number is 909-265-9189. And if this is your first time on the show, just want to remind you what we do here. Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. On this show, our main topic was Spike Lee in the Django movie. We also talked about Herman Cain in the New York Times op. We'll go back to any of these conversations if you want. We have some extras coming up. And you know what? I have a list of black holiday classics that I want to ask Kai about. How are you, Kai?
You know, it's interesting. I guess I got so excited. Once we went to break, it felt like I was going to pass out.
You used up too much energy with Dana.
I think
hey,
I
Dana.
Hi.
Okay, I got to go back to my chill zone. Oh, my goodness.
You brought in backup. So since Dana's here, see, Dana, you made her feel better.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm being rude.
You know what I was going to say? I was going to say it was that hate for Spike that was actually getting her blood all.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. No, I don't hate Spike.
No.
I know.
But my thing is he's by him saying, and you, Jerome, you're saying you won't see it. Do you not want other people to see? Does Spike not want other people to support the movie
No, that's not what. No, we're not saying that. There's a lot of things that I won't see. Like, I don't really. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, we were just saying earlier, there is a bunch of Tyler Perry stuff that I don't really buy into, but I don't say that black people shouldn't see it. But matter of fact, I have a really good story about this. One, at college, Mr. Farrakhan was coming to our school, right? And I was a freshman, and I was in someone's room. I was reminded of the story by Ray Gandy, by the way. So, and I want to say hey to my girl Crystal, who is in New York City. If you're listening, hey, Chris. And what happened, we all went to college together, by the way, it reminded me. She just sent me a text, so I had to say hey. Now, the thing was is that we were in someone's room, and this girl came around to sign signatures to say, you know, Mr. Farrakhan is coming, so we don't want him on the campus. And they tried to get the black people to sign this, you know, petition to not allow him to come. So one of the girls in the room was coming up, and she was from Lackawanna, which is outside of Buffalo. And she was like, oh, you know, I don't see the problem. Let me go sign it. And I stopped her, and I said, hey, I got this. Come back after you do everybody else and come holler at us. And so Ray Gandy reminded me of this about 5 years ago. She goes, I remember as a freshman, you lectured us for about 2 hours about that. The problem is because other black people want to see it, you don't stop it from happening. So
right.
We're not saying just because we won't see it, we're telling you not to see it. We're just saying, like, you know, it don't have any place for me. He's not
right.
He's not gonna validate it, is what he's saying.
And
but
I can respect that.
Yeah.
I have that real amount of respect for that, you know.
Yep.
But you know, it's interesting. It's I worked for an executive education with the alumni. Now, these are the people who have a lot of money. So part of my job was to send out what was going on campus. And I remember when Barack Obama was campaigning, he came through on the campus where I worked. And it's either you want to come or you don't. I didn't ask for a poll. It was just for informational purposes. Barack Obama did the same thing with Al Gore or whoever else I was giving information to send out to our executive alumni. You would not believe the comments I got back. Is this what I send my money for, to support this left wing, this right wing? What is this? I didn't even give them the benefit of responding to them. It's either you want to come or you don't want to come. All of the extra energy that they put into it was a waste of time. It's like they were killing the messenger, and I was just delivering the message. So not even to kill Spike Lee, who's, you know, delivering the message, I can totally respect the fact that he doesn't want to see the movie. I guess my issue was with the comments that were made afterwards. You know, I'm more offended by, like Dana said, the people we hear every day using the word against each other, we expect people who are non-African American to try and get away with using the word. But when we're using it ourselves, I have more of an issue with that. You know?
Absolutely.
But that's the thing, right? We have to fight in so many arenas when it comes to race that we cannot look at one person as the savior one way or another.
Right.
And I think, you know, when we start talking about, like I said, I use Spike and Sharpton for the amount of hate that black folks have for him because
mm-hmm.
it makes white folks uncomfortable, that it's really interesting to me that when somebody says, oh, well, I don't think Spike should do this or that, and I'm thinking, were you around when Spike did any kind of wellness stuff, or do you know any of the good things that he did? It's like, no, because he doesn't get publicity for those things,
right.
You know, for helping out new upcoming directors or giving
mm-hmm.
scholarships. Nobody
mm-hmm.
is around for that stuff. But
right.
the moment that he says something, everyone goes, well, why is Spike talking? It's because Spike has a mouth. He can talk if he
yeah.
wants to. So that always throws me. When it comes down to it.
But I think people are listening because who he is, and that's why it's
right.
major. Because I'm sure he's not the only public figure that's not going to see it, but since he voiced his opinion,
right.
the media puts it on out there in the universe and
right.
just to get the reaction of everyone else.
Right.
Well this, you know what didn't make news, and I don't want to bring up Denzel's name too much on the show, Dana. If you don't know, every time I bring Denzel's name up, Kathleen and Kai normally kills me on this, but I'm at a risk of having to cut the show short. I'm going to say his name.
Don't be a hater.
And I don't hate that brother. I got a lot of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
Pam Grier is all I got to say. But anyway, so Spike Lee caused Denzel Washington when he got nominated for an Oscar for Malcolm. Denzel said when he took the phone call early in the morning, he just hung up and rolled over because he knew that he would never get an Oscar for Malcolm. Now,
mm-hmm.
nobody blew that up saying, you know, Denzel's talking about race issues and blah, blah. He
mm-hmm.
knew what time it was opposed to
right.
his position in Hollywood on how they would react. No matter how much they like Denzel,
mm-hmm.
he did not get an award until Training Day, until he was the bad
and
guy.
And I don't even
mm-hmm.
think that was merit to get it. I think that was a makeup for the
right.
Malcolm, because
mm-hmm.
he
right.
did a phenomenal job in Malcolm.
Right,
right.
He did.
And so the reality of how our dispositions are, like when it really comes down to it, is a whole nother story. Like, I know we have Miss Briggs listening. She just texted me saying, where can I send my comments in? But she posted on her Facebook, I hate putting out other social networks, but she posted on Facebook, we were in Salt Lake City early 2000 for a couple of weeks. And I remember naming Salt Lake, the state of Utah, the land of disrespect. We were in a meeting. We're the only two black people there, right? And I said, I am forever naming your land the land of disrespect. And the reason I named it that is because we were there on Martin Luther King's birthday. And do you know the state of Utah does not celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday? They renamed it to Civil Rights Day. To get their federal highway money, they had to close the post offices and all those things. But they wouldn't name it after Martin Luther King's birthday. They just had to call it something else. So they celebrate Gandhi and everybody else. So they're forever the land of disrespect. So my point is that you have to call it when you see it. And although I can say I know some nice Mormons, I did walk through, they were letting out of church, and none of those people even said one word to me. I don't care
mm-hmm.
what your missionaries say.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds was walking in the direction I was walking in, and I was going to a car show, and they parted like the Red Sea, and nobody would get close enough to touch me. It was the weirdest
well,
thing.
And
now,
I guess my question is, are there black people in Utah?
There, you know what? They have a Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Really?
And an NAACP, which they probably really need one.
Oh, my
anyway,
goodness.
We're not going to catch them all bass up today. They probably really need one. All right. You know, now I want to say this. You know, we talked about Santa and Christmas earlier, and since we're talking about race, this is Black on Black Crime. So do you know what the top selling toy was this year? Dana,
what?
Do you know? That's
no,
Kai's dog growling.
I'm sorry. Is he that loud? Oh,
I just heard it. I was like, your dog is mad that you're doing radio? All right.
No, he thinks he's Simba.
Oh, God. All right. So here is the top-selling doll this year, Dr. McStuffins. Now, it's the star of a children's show, right? It's officially dubbed the most sought-after gift this holiday season. New doll unseats Elmo. We won't talk about Elmo this year as the must-have toy. But Disney series, that series was introduced in March, and it surpassed Dora the Explorer as a top-rated cable show for kids. Now, Dr. McStuffins is a 16-year-old African-American girl who treats sick toys. So the show's creator developed the show for her son, and she said she didn't realize how much this Dr. McStuffins would inspire kids. So while hard to find, they're hard to find in stores, and some parents are going online and eBay to get the doll. Now, the online price has reached up to $34.99 is what its retail value is, and it's up four times of what its retail value is.
Wow, that's awesome.
I didn't know.
Isn't that cool?
I've never heard of that before.
When I saw the story, I posted a picture of the doll, and I was thinking, man, that is kind of actually pretty cool that that is the top-selling doll of this season.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, is this a doll that you have on your website that's showing? Okay.
Yes. Yep.
All right.
So
yeah.
She has, along with her doll, the doctor bag is selling with it as accessories, of course, like a Ken and Barbie. And the doctor's friend's Lambie, which is a little lamb, is also included. So it has a she has a pet lamb. So the
is
doctor
is buying that doll and not asking for a lighter version?
No, they're actually buying the doll.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like Barbie.
Yeah, like they have a couple of choices of the, you know, skin tone
right.
of the dolls.
Oh, that's
with
awesome.
Barbie and other dolls. There was this cheerleading doll that they had out. I found interesting at one time, and they had different cheers. And I noticed the black doll had a little more, you know, soulful cheer.
Yeah.
Than the other dolls.
Get it, girl?
Yeah, and the language too was a little different than the other.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm not gonna really complain about that because I would think that that would be a little bit more accurate. But that's just me. I'm just gonna go there and say that.
Shake your rump.
I'm sorry.
Stuff like that, you know.
I'm sorry. I think it just has to be. Now, okay. Cuba Gooding Jr. and other news, Cuba Gooding Jr., Vanessa Williams, and I don't know who this person is, Condella Rashad. She's joining Cicely Tyson on, I guess it's a Broadway play called The Trip to Bountiful. And the producers announced this Thursday. They signed the trio to star in a revised play that's going to be on Broadway. It first appeared in 1953, became a film in 1995 starring Geraldine Page, never heard of it. So Cicely Tyson, who was an Academy Award-winning nominee and an Emmy winner, will be on stage with Oscar winner Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tony winner Vanessa Williams, an Emmy nominee. Well, I guess he was nominated for both. So and Rashad also has a Tony for Stickfly, which is Alicia Keys' play, which is going to be on HBO.
Alicia Keys is doing a play?
She produced this play called Stickfly, and so
they just
signed a deal with HBO, and they're going to make a movie out of it in the near future. I did that story on the news show last week, but I can't remember the details.
My bad.
All right. So just want to remind you, you're listening to Black on Black Crime. If you call it in, you can catch us on download. You can catch us in the archives. You can go to espritradio.solasyracuse.com and check out all of our programs in the archives or check us out on iTunes. So just wanted to make sure I gave a quick plug, and you're listening on Esprit Radio. Kathleen has been dropped. I didn't mute her, guys, so just so you know, I didn't kick Kathleen out. I know y'all think that.
Not this time.
Okay, so there is – not this time. There is a list of black holiday classics, right? And so – I have a list of five. I'm not going to put them in any particular order, but this is our IQ test, and I want you and Dana to kind of rate these. So we'll do all five of them, and then you tell us which one would be the number one for you. Okay?
Okay.
You guys with me?
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is a movie called A Diva Christmas. Now, I've never seen this. It's a sassy version of A Christmas Carol with Vanessa Williams. She plays an Ebony Scrooge and a wicked singer who gets a rude awakening before her performance at a Christmas charity. Have you guys seen that one?
I've seen it.
Bits and pieces of it, I did see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
not
I can tell
in its entirety.
This is going to be low on Dana's list. I'm going to go with that. All right. Last Holiday with Queen Latifah. She plays Geraldine Bird, a woman who has led a modest life until she was told that she had a few weeks to live. Knowing that it might be her last Christmas, she empties her savings account, goes on a vacation of a lifetime, and falls hard for former coworker LL Cool J, or Todd. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to hate on that. I'm not going to hate on Cool James.
Like,
that sounds like hate, didn't it? My bad. I'm going to pull that back.
Going to put you on the scrub list.
Hey, I will play I'm Bad on the next show. You keep playing with me. I like LL, so okay, we're cool. All right, so you guys seen that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, so our next movie is, don't hate, but it's Perfect Holiday, a romantic comedy with Morris Chestnut, who plays a shopping mall Santa who falls in love with a single mom, Gabrielle Union, and who only asks to have a nice man delivered for Christmas. So Charlie Murphy plays her crazy rapper husband, ex-husband.
He's on this weekend.
I can tell this is a classic, so I can tell this is coming. All right, and my last one on the list is A Preacher's Wife. I don't even have to read this one, do I? Whitney Houston, Denzel Washington, that other guy, Denzel Washington something, and Courtney B. Vance plays memorable roles in an updated version of The Bishop's Wife. I didn't know that. Dudley, who is the angel played by the Washington guy, has come to save a struggling church, and the marriage of the minister, who's played by Courtney Vance, and his wife, Whitney Houston. Everyone seen Preacher's Wife?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go through it. All right, so what would you think out of Perfect Holiday? Oh, wait, I missed one. That was exactly what I was going to say that.
This Christmas.
Okay. I'm sorry. Loretta Devine plays the monarch of a Los Angeles family coming together for their Christmas celebration. The movie is, this is not my quote, the movie is great for anyone looking for tons of family drama and, their quote, eye candy. I don't know.
Eye candy.
You know, okay, Sharon Leo and Lauren London, they are pretty cute. I just want to say that. Now, I don't know that other guy in there. And, you know. So, anyway, okay. So, this Christmas, I didn't leave that Eldritch guy out of there because of Kai. But now that Dana's here, I know I'm going to have to start leaving him out a little bit more.
She's got some backup. Yep.
Thank you.
Hold on. I'm about to page Rome. Hold on. Let me get him on the line. I'm going to need some backup. We're going to get some more people here. Okay. So, I guess we have five. We have Preacher's Wife, Last Holiday, A Diva Christmas, which is at the bottom already, This Christmas, Perfect Holiday. Okay, so let's rank the bottom. We'll just all say A Diva Christmas because nobody's really watched that.
See, I don't know. I kind of like that one.
You like that one?
Mm-hmm. I liked it better than Perfect Holiday.
Oh, okay.
Although I like Wow. Mr. Chestnut. Yeah. I like Diva Christmas better than yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with Nessa. You can't bet against Nessa. I just want to say that. And the interesting thing about this is, I was going to say Latifah must be in two of them, but no, she's not in two of them. That's just my bad.
Yeah, one's the Last Holiday and one's the Perfect Holiday or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. So Perfect Holiday was Morris Chestnut and Gabrielle Union.
Right.
Okay. So, all right, let's try A Perfect Holiday. What would we rank Perfect Holiday? Kai, you can go first. What would you go out of five?
That would be number five.
That would be five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dana? what would you go with, Perfect Holiday? Morris Chestnut.
I just know my top two.
Okay.
two, that's it.
Okay, so she's going to tie them all at the bottom. We'll just say not top two for Dana. All right, so and watch me pick her top two, and I'm not going to say her top two to last. All right. Chai, last holiday, where would you put that one?
That would be number that would be number three.
That'd be three? All right, cool.
Yeah.
And we'll say for Dana, not top two. Dana?
You got not top two.
Not
I'll,
top
I'll
two?
Go with
okay.
Kathy's pick.
Okay, see that works. All right, not top two. All right. You know, I had some 1973 classic, but I don't think any of us heard this. It's called Dream of Christmas, starring two people I never heard of with an all-black cast about the story of a Los Angeles church on the verge of being demolished, and it was a Christmas movie, and I think we all just didn't see it. And I'm skimming through the description because I didn't see it. So, anyway, Dream of Christmas, if you want to throw that in there someplace, just let me know. All right, not top two, Dana?
No.
Top two. Okay, so, all right. Let's go.
Do you want my top two?
No, because there's only two left. I am trying really hard on which one to go with next, but I'm going to say let's go with The Preacher's Wife. Whitney Houston, Denzel Washington. Kai, where are you going with this one?
That would be number two.
That would be number two?
Uh-huh.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Dana?
For me, it will be number one because it's a remake from a Cary Grant. So.
Oh, see. There we go.
It's a remake.
See,
and it's a classic.
See, that's where I got you all wrong, girl. See, I figured y'all was going to split on this one, and I guess you did anyway with the wrong ones. This Christmas is our last one.
That would be number one.
That would be your number one
for Kathy.
Right.
That's number two for me because of all the eye candy. And it's a, you know, cute little film. It's a little nonsense, but
yeah,
I like
it's
it.
It's a lot of chaos.
It was entertaining.
Kind of reminds me of my own family. No, I'm just joking.
It was very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I like that movie.
Okay, you know what, and I want to say this since this Christmas Kai wasn't around. I was around, and somebody made some pound cake that was banging. I just want to say that for the record. I'm not trying to make you homesick. I never take her place. Yeah, just want to say that for the record. We never take Kai's place. She was just missing an accent, and we knew she was a little bit under the weather.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Dana, you normally take Kai's place. Anyway, I don't know what you talk about.
I know.
Then she calls me and tells me how good the food is. How torturous is that?
Oh, man. That is really nice. You know what? Instead of hating Spike, you need to work on your friends. I just want to throw that out.
I'm just filling in, you know, checking on the fam.
making sure everything's right for you when you come back. Friend, that's what a friend do, Dana. I just want to
tell
you.
That's right.
All right, and later on, I'll be posting old Dana and Kai pictures on the internet.
Oh, okay, all right, we'll have to look at them first.
That's right.
Thanks for not
that's
muting
black
me.
On black crime.
Hey, you will never get muted on this show, Dana. I just want to tell you that. And being that Dacia didn't make it today, she would have loved to have y'all reunion of whatever y'all crew
I
was.
I know.
She shouted y'all out last time. Last show. She told me what the name was, and I forgot. All
the
right.
Sisterhood Club. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the three
you
of us.
You can if you want.
You can if you want. That's our motto.
And she finally told me what that meant. But y'all better let Bunny in. That's all I want to say. All right. Thank you for joining us on Black Crime. Join us again next week. We will be on Monday. I think we're going to do New Year's Eve. We'll see how Kai feels. And Dana, if you're around, New Year's Eve, you'll get a text from me. Just wanted to share that.
Holla.
So we will see you again next week on SB Radio and on ACN. Thanks for joining us. Hey, check you two out later.
Thank you.
All good
right.
Night. Bye-bye.